Good. Now, where are my notes? Okay, so on Good Friday, a couple of days ago, we remembered, didn't we, how Jesus died, that he was crucified on the cross. And Ruth, if you'd like to take through the PowerPoint slides as we go, please. Thank you, love. There on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit as he died. And then after he died, a man called Joseph, Joseph of Arimathea, and another man called Nicodemus came, and they took the body of Jesus down from the cross, and they carried it to a tomb that was nearby, and they laid it. Imagine that here we have a tomb, and they laid it here, and they wrapped his body in strips of linen, and they wrapped his head with a cloth as well. And then they closed up the tomb, as it were, and then they got this big heavy stone, and they rolled the stone across in front of the entrance to seal up the tomb. But of course, the tomb couldn't hold Jesus. No way could the tomb hold Jesus captive. Ruth, can you keep going through the slides, please? Thank you, love. There's no way the tomb was going to hold Jesus captive. The angels came and they rolled away the stone. They rolled it back out of the way, and the tomb was open for people to go in. And we heard, didn't we, on the reading, how the disciples ran, and John ran ahead of Peter, and John's waited outside. Peter rushed on in, and he went in, and he found no body. Jesus had gone. He just found the linen cloth all neatly folded up, and the cloth that had been over Jesus' head was separate and to one side. And they wondered what had happened. Well, we know that God had raised Jesus from death. Of course, people doubted that, didn't they? I'm sure, I have no doubt that some of you, even here this morning, doubt that that happened. I'm sure you do. But Jesus gave many proofs to many people that he was still alive. I wonder, can you remember, let's see how many of these proofs you can remember that Jesus gave that he was alive, or some of the people he met to prove that he was alive after he came out the tomb. So, let's see. How many can you remember? What incidents can you remember? And if none of you say anything, I'll have to go to Phil and test him out, won't I? There's one answer. Oh, you have to shout out loud. That's right. Very, very good. Yes, he appeared to Mary, and Mary thought he was the gardener. And he appeared to other women with Mary as well. Yeah, who else? What else? Yeah, he met even 500 at one time. Yeah, that's what Paul tells us. Who else? On the road to Emmaus, there were people walking along the road, and Cleopas and another, and someone started walking along with them, and they didn't know who it was, and then eventually, what happened to them when they realized it was Jesus? What was Jesus doing when they realized? He opened their eyes... When? Yes, he had a meal with them. He broke bread. He ate with them. Yes. There's a clue as to another time Jesus met with people. On the beach. Yeah, he had a barbecue on the beach. And some of the guys were out fishing and they caught nothing. And Jesus, on the beach, they didn't realize it was Jesus. But he said, try chucking your net on the other side. And so they did that, and they caught how many fish? Now, there's a test for you. How many fish? Ian would know if Ian was here. Where's Ian? He's asleep. So, Stephen knows. 153. Very good. They caught 153 fish. Yeah, absolutely. And he ate a meal with the disciples. So Jesus met with all these hundreds of people over a period of how many days? I almost said it. How many days? 40 days. Yeah, over a month he kept meeting people. And they told each other. And, you know, if this wasn't really happening, well, there's just no other explanation, is there? It has to have happened. Okay, so Jesus, what he's done then is he put the cross well behind him, hasn't he? And he's put the tomb right behind him because he's risen from the dead. He was well and truly alive. Now, what about us here this morning, today? What about our lives? Well, you know, the cross of Jesus is also well and truly behind us. So let's do that. Let's put the cross well and truly behind us. Okay, I'm going to do it literally. I'm going to carry the cross all the way down and put it right back here behind us. And as long as no one's nicked my hook, which they haven't, which is very good, we can actually hang it up there. The cross now is right behind us. You can see it there. Sorry, people on Zoom, you can't see that because it's behind the camera. But it is there, behind us. What am I done that for? What's that all about? What does it mean to say that we've put the cross behind us? Well, sometimes people say, don't they, I'm right behind you. What do we mean by that? We mean, I'm there to help you. I'm there to support you. I'm there to encourage you. I'm there to back you up. Sometimes we say to people, I'm upholding you in prayer. Or maybe if you watch Dragon's Den, you'll know about how when people want to start a new business, they go to the dragons to get their backing, to get a dragon behind them, to support them, to get them started on a new business. So when we put our trust, when we put our faith in Jesus, he is right behind us. He is backing us. He is supporting us. He is upholding us. And the death of Jesus gives us the opportunity to start a new way of life. Just as a business dragon gives someone a chance to start a new business, so the Lord Jesus gives us the chance to start a new way of life. He backs us. Not only that, but he opens up a new life in front of us too. Now, I wonder if anybody has ever read or can read the words up here in the window, and they're on the screen there as well. Does anybody know what that says, or can anybody read that? Not easy, is it? Lisa's reading it. So it's Michelle. Come on, let's see if we can say it together, okay? If you can read that or on the screen. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Well, that's slightly different. It's like old-fashioned language, isn't it? Let's put it on the screen in modern language. There's part of it up there. I'll read the whole part. I am the resurrection and the life, said Jesus. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So you see, as we come to Jesus, he takes hold of us, he backs us, he gives us, he opens up for us a new way of life, eternal life. Yes, of course this body dies as we get older. We begin to realize that this body is not going to last forever. I know you youngsters, you think it'll last forever, but I tell you it won't. But God gives his followers of Jesus new bodies suitable for a new world. Because after we die, or when Jesus returns, whichever comes first, there will be a new world. So let's just see what that might look like. Thank you to Maggie for this. Let's see. There we are. This is like the picture we see in the book of Revelation. Let me just give it a bit more support there. There we are. So God gives us a promise of a new creation. Who knows quite what it'll look like? But here's the description that we're given in the Bible. The angel showed John the river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God up here, and from the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. Here's the street. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And there in the city, God's dwelling place is among his people. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. What a great world God opens up in front of us. Because we know that this body will not last forever. This life will not last forever. There is no evidence that there is nothing after death, but there is every evidence in the Lord Jesus that there is something after death. And this is what there will be. Now I have a question for you all this morning. Take time to think about this. I don't want an answer out loud. I want you to think about the question, the answer that you personally would give to the question. Okay? Here's the question. Does the cross of Jesus form the basis of your life? Does the cross of Jesus form the basis of your life? Does he stand behind you and open up the future before you? Now, I want to let Jesus ask you a question. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live. Do you believe this? And I want to say to you, well, do you? Now, I said I didn't want you to answer that now, publicly. But you might like to come and tell Phil or me afterwards what your answer to the question is. Particularly if you're not sure. Or you'd like to find out. You think, well, I can't really believe this, but I'd quite like to. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd love to meet with you. Or arrange for someone else to meet with you and to read through the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, his death and his resurrection. And just see whether Jesus will walk off the pages of Scripture into your life. Because that's what happened to many of us. And we now live with the cross behind us and the future opened up before us. Let's talk to God for a moment now. Our loving Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, that he died so that we can live. We thank you that he rose again from the dead so that the future can open up before us, even beyond our death in this life. We thank you, Father, that hope has transformed the present of so many of us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would help. Help us all to believe that you are the resurrection and the life in the Lord Jesus. And Father, for those who doubt, we pray that you give them the courage to ask questions and find the truth, the real answers to such important questions. Help us all, Father, to know the real truth of the reality of this life and what happens when we die. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.